This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, and you know, working here at this radio station is always fun, but it is particularly exciting in the summer when our youth reporters move in and get to work. Each year, WUNC runs the Youth Reporting Institute and brings together diverse young voices to learn tricks of the trade and teach us old dogs some new tricks. Joining us now is the director of Youth Reporting Institute, Kamaya Truitt-Martin, and welcome back. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Did you have fun? Good year?
Oh, yes. This was one of our top years, actually.
Good stuff. Why so? I mean, I'm sure every year is a top year, but what stood out for you this year?
I just think the story choices and the journey that it took to get to these topics was one that was a collaborative effort. Some of them came in with their story ideas already, but, you know, we take some time to work through them and find focus, and I think what we came out with this year was really, really great.
And the reporters don't all know each other. You don't all know each other before you get started, right?
Yeah, it's just a hodgepodge of people from different areas, Durham, Cary, Chapel Hill, trying to get every county in North Carolina that's close to WUNC.
Well, we're talking to the director of WUNC's Youth Reporting Institute, Kamaya Truitt-Martin, and joining us now are some of the students in this summer's program. Emma Pollard, 16 years old, attends Northwood High School in Pittsburgh. Emma, hello.
Hello.
It's good to see you here. Amanda Suitaki is also 16. Welcome to the program, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And 18-year-old Kayla Beckett is headed to North Carolina A&T in Greensboro. Congratulations, and hi, Kayla.
Thank you. Hello.
Good to have you here. Let's talk about to each of you a little bit. Emma, are you interested in journalism, and how did you get started in this?
Yes, I am very interested in journalism. I'm going to be the online editor for my school's paper this year. So I got into journalism my sophomore year, just kind of like out of the whim. Like I like just signed up for it because I saw my friend was doing it, and I ended up falling in love with it. So.
What was it? What do you think it was that made you fall in love?
I think my teacher, first of all, but he like left. But also I just like being able to tell a story for not like either me or someone else. I think it's just a really great like career.
Very cool. Amanda, let me ask you, where you're headed. Is journalism something you're interested in pursuing?
This was one of my first times actually trying journalism, but I've really enjoyed it. My favorite thing is actually just talking to people and like learning what inspires them and makes them passionate. So just like doing that, I think journalism may be in my future.
It's kind of cool because you get to ask questions you really wouldn't feel right asking otherwise, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of like just exploring and meeting new people, which is really exciting.
Good stuff. Kayla, what type of stories do you like to tell as a journalist?
I mean, every story that really resonates with me or somebody that I know are the stories that I tend to tell because I know that they have a direct impact on the people I love and care about. So, yeah.
And resonates with you how? What do you think? Because not every story is about you, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. the whole point of being a journalist. You can do stories, and I think it's a good thing to start from there, right, to tell those personal stories. But ultimately, you know, you have to find the connection between you and them. So how do you do that?
Okay, so before I decided that I wanted to go into mass communications and journalism, I was a history major. And what I learned in history is that, like, every story is important if you can find a way to relate it to your own life. And so if you try to find a way, you will find a way to relate it to yourself. So
yeah, yeah. And the other important thing about studying history, of course, is realizing how many stories had been left out of the history. And so now it becomes our job to rectify that the best we can, right? I mean, it's
right.
like let's bring some of those stories back and let everybody know what we've been missing this whole time. Emma, your story is a story that was well known to everybody, the tragic story of Sandy Hook, and that's a place where you were living in that community at the time of
yes.
the shooting. So talk about your decision to you know, revisit all of that and do a story about it.
So I think it's important to kind of, especially since everything, like with everything that's been going on recently, like all the mass shootings that we've seen, I think it's important to kind of find a connection to people that are victims of it instead of kind of focusing on the actual like perpetrator. I just think it was kind of important to kind of tell my story because like the longer term impacts are kind of overlooked by like everyone in the media. So
I mean, what is your story? Talk about how it all unfolded for you, because really in some ways you came to your story late. You had to revisit in order to pull it all together.
So it was just kind of like,
You were not at Sandy at the school,
no,
right? But
no,
you were
no,
at
no.
a neighboring, a nearby school and a member of that community and very close with someone who was lost.
Yes. So I was, my story is about like my personal experience with gun violence and kind of my mental health impacts. So I lived in Sandy Hook / Newtown. The names are kind of interchangeable. But I was 9 when it happened, and I was at a school 3 miles away. So I was in 5th grade. And so we didn't really know it was happening when it happened. And then it kind of just happened, you know. I went home, and my parents weren't really telling me anything until really my mom found out that one of our close friends, Charlotte Bacon, had passed away.
And she was very, you were close friends. She was very close with the family.
Yeah, they were close family friends.
And for your story, you talked with your mom about that. So let's listen to this clip from your story.
Right here in Newtown, Connecticut, gunfire aimed at elementary school children.
The violent episode shook students and their families in the small Newtown community.
At least 27 dead, 20 children, 7 adults, including the principal.
All right, there it is. I'm with Emma Pollard, a reporter for WNC Youth Reporting Institute. That's a clip from her story on Sandy Hook. It was difficult for you, was it not, to go back and listen to those clips?
Yeah, it was really difficult. I remember doing all the research and just watching like 4 hours of video and just kind of stepping back and being like, wow, this like really happened. It wasn't just a dream or something.
What was the impact on you now listening to that, listening back and remembering how you felt then?
Now it just kind of brings back like anxiety and just kind of memories of just sitting in my classroom, like kind of feeling helpless because like you don't know what to do and they wouldn't tell us what was going on. So it was just kind of triggering.
And as we said, you did talk with your mother about this, and she talked about having to be with the family, being with the family, a close family friend who was lost in the shooting.
Time stopped. And watching that hope fade to a realization that they'd never hold her again.
A clip from WNC Youth reporter Emma Pollard, who is interviewing her mother about the Sandy Hook tragedy. I'm joined by Youth Reporting Institute Director Kamaya Truitt-Martin and Youth Reporters Amanda Sukataki and Kayla Beckett as well. What do you think is the value of doing a story like that? Not just for you, but we can talk about that as well, but then for us to hear this, the entire story.
I think the value of doing a story like this is kind of making it more personal to not only myself and like my close friends, but also everyone, because when you have someone my age, like talk about something like this, I feel like more people my age can also kind of relate to it and kind of like know like how it like affected me and how it can affect them.
Yeah, and certainly the power of your story is in doing something that you said at the very beginning of this conversation, which is to remind us that this is about people who are under stress and who are in pain. And I think it's very easy for us to get lost in the victim, or lost in the perpetrator, and lost in the political debate.
Yeah.
And we can spend way too much emotional energy raging over solutions instead of the much more painful and much more difficult project of remaining in solidarity and in comfort with those for whom we can do very little.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate what you've done and the journey that you've taken to bring us there. Thank you very much. Nice work.
Thank you.
Amanda, let's talk about your story, the topic of your story, because it's also very personal, a family story anyway, and one that you didn't know much about. Tell us about it.
So my story is about my grandmother and how she told us about her Japanese internment camp. The main point of my story was just to talk about, you know, things that may not be taught in school and just how her life has kind of changed and affected mine. So the main part was that she hadn't told us about her Japanese internment until I was in middle school. And she's always been, you know, a very bright and shiny person to me. She's a big role model in my life. So when my brother was at the dinner table talking about World War II and not like telling her part of the story because he was only talking about the fighting overseas. She waited and then told us about her life in the internment camp.
Why did you think then to go back? Because here's somebody who had not told you about this, and now you're going to go back and ask questions about it. What did you think about how she would receive that?
I think she was nervous at first, but I think she realized this is a story that just needed to be told. You know, a lot of people don't know the further extent of the Japanese internment, so I think she realized that she needed to tell this story, and who better to tell it than her own granddaughter.
Here's a clip from your piece and a moment in which she's sharing photos. Let's listen.
This is a picture of the watchtower in the black thatched barrack and the castle rock in the background. You see, there's nothing growing, not one single tree. Nothing but dust.
That's a clip from reporter, I've got Rose Hoban here, who was previously on our program, but Amanda Suwataki is a youth reporter who reported on her grandmother's internment in a Japanese internment camp during World War II right here in the United States. So she's got these photos. Had you ever seen them before?
I didn't. The truth is that my grandmother, you know, had all these things that she just had kept from me and my brother, because I think she wanted to wait until we were a little more mature to fully understand her internment.
What did you think it meant to her to actually be talking to you and be interviewed by you about this?
I think she was happy that I knew more about my heritage. I think she realized how important it is for me to know about my history and our just family history so I can better assess situations and just, you know, work to make the world better.
Well, Amanda Suwataki is one of the students participating in the Youth Reporting Institute. Also joining us on the program today is Kayla Beckett, who, Kayla, tell us a little bit about your piece. It is, again, a very personal piece.
My piece was more so about navigating different spaces in my life, trying to find love and acceptance, and just my experiences in doing that, while also talking to my friends and my peers about their experiences and how they found love and acceptance in those spaces.
And you talk about finding love and acceptance, particularly with your mother, and you say you don't like the word, the term coming out.
Yes.
But it was a way of revealing and having a conversation with your mother about your sexuality. Tell us a little bit about about that conversation.
The conversation was always, it's kind of funny, but then again, it wasn't. I remember when Kamaya came over for our interview and everything was like really peachy and keen, but then it got to this really serious point where it's just kind of like, you know, I didn't really feel accepted in the way that I wanted to feel accepted. And I felt like she felt a sense of entitlement that I didn't necessarily feel like she deserved to have when it came to knowing about my sexuality. And I always told my mom that, like, if I'm gay or lesbian or whatever that may be, I'm not going to tell you. You'll just know when I bring the person home. And so that's basically how she found out. And that's how she found out. So,
but you did have the conversation with her. So it wasn't as though you were going to leave it like that, at least for this project. And let's hear a little bit about how she reflected on that.
It is what it is. Like, you can fight it, but for what? Like, you fight it and you lose your relationship with your child. Is it worth it? You know, is it worth it? Is it better just to love them for who they are, where they are at this point in their lives, and maintain that relationship? And you know, I really appreciate our relationship because we do have a strong relationship.
A clip from WUNC youth reporter Kayla Beckett. Her story focuses on a quest to be herself and also, as you said earlier, to be accepted in these spaces for who you are. You talk to a drag queen who goes to your church, and your church also plays a part in this. And he shares some of the backlash that he experienced when people knew who more fully who he was.
When I did my first drag show, and it was on Facebook, and people from the church seen it, and came to church Sunday, and are you a drag queen? Yes. Well, you know you're going to hell because you're a drag queen and you coming to church this day and this. Huh?
There it is. Kayla Beckett, a tape from one of her pieces. She's a youth reporter here at WUNC. Is talking to a drag queen named James. So what's your relationship with your church now?
I don't really think I'm going to go back to my church. I love the people there dearly, but I also realize that there is some change that they are unwilling to make right now, and that's very problematic to me personally. So I'm not going to say, you know, don't go to church. I just know I'm not going to my church. James, on the other hand, he found a church that he loves to go to and he enjoys going to because they accept him as he is. And I feel like at the right time, I'll take the time to learn about other churches where I might be able to feel loved and accepted there as well.
And I'll ask you the same thing, the importance of doing a piece like this. What do you think?
The importance of doing this piece is really, there's certain conversations that you have around the dinner table or you have within the queer center or you have just in the car, right? But the issues that gay people, especially black and brown gay people, have to deal with are they're unlike any other. And I feel like people don't really bring attention to their stories and just how they feel about certain things. And while doing this, I've been able to interview a lot of my friends about their stance on religion, their personal opinions about being gay, even dealing with depression while being gay and religious. And so I really was able to learn from this, and I feel like other people can learn from this too.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Kamaya Truitt Martin is the director of WNC's Reporting Institute. She's joined by youth reporters Emma Pollard, Amanda Suitaki, and Kayla Beckett. And they, you can find out more. They're actually going to do play their work tonight at Motorco, 7 o'clock in Durham. That's at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.